good morning. It's great to see you here today. Missions Month. We're very excited you came to worship with us. And if you're visiting with us, welcome. Glad to have you this morning. I want to recognize one of our missionaries, Brother Jim Lambeth. He was just here for Sunday school. There he is. You've got to stand up. There he is. That's what he looks like. I want a missionary. And we had a great time in Sunday school. Each week, for the rest of the month, for our adult Sunday school classes, we're combining right here in the sanctuary. You hear a different missionary each Sunday to share in their work. I want to remind you that tonight we're going to have one of our home missionaries, Trish Strickland, will be here sharing what she's doing in Brazil. So you don't want to miss that tonight. And we have a lot of exciting things going on for Missions Month. Please be praying for that. On the last Sunday of the month will be our Faith Promise Sunday, where we make our Faith Promise commitments to support missionaries and missions. So you don't want to miss that. And also part of that is a meal and the Sunday evening service on that last Sunday in March. We'd love for you to take part in that. It's kind of a cover dish thing. You can read the directions there in the bulletin about what we want to do. I need you to sign up if you can bring a cover dish. Include your phone number there so we can get in touch with you about that. Also, a couple other things to remind you about coming up this week for our senior adults. We have our senior adult lunch Tuesday. Need to sign up if you're coming. It's $4. We have some good food and just a good time of fellowship for our senior adults right back in the Family Life Center. And so please sign up. Need you to sign up so we can plan our food. And we'd love for you to come. 60 or older, or if you're not 60, but you're married to someone who is 60 or older, you can come too. But anyway, so hope you can come. College and career, there's going to be a fellowship this Friday, 7 o'clock, at the home of the Beckers. And so please note that. Also, we have these. These are our new pictorial directories. How many realize there's people you know their face, you do not know what name goes with their face? And so this way you can check afterwards. Maybe you can have it up under your coat and try to look real fast or whatever you need to do. But these are now available. They'll be in the foyer after the service as you're leaving. We ask you just take one per family for right now, okay? Can you help us with that? It's not one for each person in the family or one for each hand. It's one per family. And that would be, that's a real blessing. See people's pictures, have numbers and addresses for you, and it can be a help to you. Also, just want to note, if you notice, we have some new pew Bibles. Do you notice that? Now, you say, well, I always bring my Bible, but I want you to look at those. They got large print in them. And for those that need large print, and our other pew Bibles were getting old and tired, and we're going to do things with them, but got some new pew Bibles there. So those are there if you didn't bring your Bible for the service. God provided for us that we can get some new ones, and that's great. Anyway, thank you for coming. Let's bow and begin our service in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for how you've provided for our ministry here and how you've provided for your people for missions. Father, we pray you just put a burden on our heart about getting out the gospel, whether it's ourselves or our missionaries. Father, that we would pray, we would give. Father, we consider going even this month. Father, thank you so much for salvation, which you give us freely when we put our trust in Christ as our Savior. We ask that there's someone here that's never done that this morning, that they would understand what Christ has done for them, that they put their trust in him as their only hope for heaven. Again, Father, I ask you, please bless our time now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And let's take our songbook this morning and sing a few songs. Number 534. And would you please stand together with us as we sing Send the Light. Amen. And our theme during this missions conference month is that we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth reapers or gatherers into the harvest of the world to gather those souls. And so there's this old hymn that's no longer in some hymn books like this one, but we've recovered that hymn and put the words on the screen and the instruments have it to play along. And it's called The Call for Reapers. It's also called in other hymn books Far and Near, but we're going to learn this particular hymn this morning. We're just going to sing the first verse and the chorus a couple of times, and just the first verse and chorus a couple times, and let the chorus kind of minister to our hearts the theme of this missions conference this month. First verse with us again. Far and near the fields are teeming with waves of ripened grain. Far and near their gold is gleaming o'er the sunny slope and plain. Number 537 in your songbook, Jesus Saves, singing verses 1 and 4. Number 4, give the winds. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest gates. The song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Take a moment, greet somebody today. The line with us, bear the news to every land, bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves, onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
We are glad to have you this morning, and so glad you come. Someone made comment on my jacket this morning, and they come to me and said, I see you got a new corduroy jacket. I said, yes, I do. He said, did you know they make corduroy pillows? I said, no. They made headlines all over the country. So some of you haven't caught that yet, have you? Okay. As we pray for the offering this morning, I'd like to pray for our missionaries, our WANA missionaries up in the headquarters, Brian and Sandy Rhodes. They serve up in Chicago, the international missionaries. So, Brother Brian, if you come, please pray for them. Pray for the offering this morning. And please pray for this missions month. That God really stir our hearts towards this idea of reaching our world for Christ.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the privilege to come to you in prayer. Father, we thank you, know that you'll never leave us or forsake us. You're with us each and every day. Father, this month that we strive to focus on missions, to get the word out, to try to raise money and prayer and support for our missionaries around the world, that you would help us in that endeavor. We thank for Jim Lambeth, the King today. Father, bless him in his Awana ministry here in Florida. Pray for Brian and Sandy Rhodes as they minister internationally up in Awana headquarters. Pray for them and give them insights and opportunities to be able to start clubs. Pray for Tiffany that's in college up at Florida State. Be with her also. And Father, we thank you now for the opportunity to give back. Help to give liberally, help us to give in such a way that it'll be pleasing unto you as sacrificial. Thank you for this day. I pray for Pastor as he preaches. Give him words from on high. Help his words to drive deep into our spirit and make a difference. We praise you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you. If you have your Bibles, if you can, take them and turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. If you do not have a Bible with you, there, like we mentioned before, there are brand new Bibles in the pew in front of you. It's on page 1354, 1354. If you can, if you're physically able, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, and it says, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then say he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. If we can, as a congregation, please read verses 37 and 38 as a whole. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers to his harvest. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for who you are. God, that you are our Father. Lord, that you are a shepherd. Lord, I pray that you would just be with Pastor this morning. I pray that you give him the words to say. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray for these teenagers in here. I pray for children, Lord, I pray that you would just call forth laborers. God, I pray that you would speak to their hearts and their lives. Lord, help guide and direct them, the steps that you would have for their lives. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to realize that your mercies are new every day. Lord, that you are compassion towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to this earth to die for us. Thank you for that. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Blood and righteousness. saved me, and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend.
My hope is Jesus.
My hope is Jesus. When darkness hides my Savior's face, I rest on his unchanging grace. When faith is weak and doubt is strong, I will lift up salvation's song. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control. He saved me, and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend.
My hope is Jesus.
My hope is Jesus.
Thank you, gentlemen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate that song. My hope is Jesus Christ. You know, if Jesus Christ is not enough to save, I'm not going to make it. He's my only hope. He's my only hope for heaven. Someone said, refusing to trust anything else, I trust Christ alone for my salvation. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9, back to our verse. This is an exciting month to me as we focus on the missions. I think I shared with you many times, anything we do as a church that gets God's attention, this month does. This is God's heartbeat. This is God's desire, reaching people with the gospel of Christ. So we celebrate Christmas, his birth. We celebrate Easter, his resurrection. But all those are just a means to an end that people might get saved. And so that's our focus this month. The fact that you notice on both sides of you, there are flags represents our countries we support. We support 38 missionaries, and these flags represent the countries that which we have missionaries going to preach the gospel. So Matthew chapter 9. This morning I'd like to talk about the forgotten obligation in missions. The forgotten obligation in missions. And it's mentioned right here in our key verses, verses 37 and 38. I'd like to read them to you again. You follow along with me. Jesus said, thus saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Three things Jesus brings out in this verse about missions, about the harvest. Hope you write them down. The first one is, notice here, the abundance. The abundance. He says, the harvest truly is what? Boy, are you quiet on me this morning? So the harvest truly is what? Plenteous. That means there's abundance of people out there that do not know Christ as Savior. The word harvest refers to humanity, and specifically the humanity that are lost. And notice here, the harvest is plenteous. There's abundance of people that do not know how to go to heaven, that have not trusted Christ as Savior. In fact, the vast majority of the world, according to the Scriptures, is not saved. You would look, if you turn with me to the of Matthew chapter 7, please. Keep your finger in Matthew 9. Our focus is on the harvest truly as plenteous. There's abundance of people out there that are not saved. And our job as believers is to reach them with the gospel of Christ. Matthew 7, look with me in verse 13, please. Matthew 7, verse 13. Here Jesus is speaking. He says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth where? To destruction. Notice here, and it says, and many, many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And notice what it says, and few there be that find it. Notice the contrast between the many and the few. The way that leads to destruction, many are going that direction. The way that leads to life, few are going that direction. So truly, the harvest is plenteous. There's abundance there. Now, what is the word broad? What's the broad way? What is the, so wide is the gate, broad? What's the broad way to heaven? The broad way that will not get you to heaven. The broad way leads to destruction. The broad way is the way of good works for salvation. The vast majority of the people in the world today believe you have to be good to go to heaven. In fact, every other religion teaches salvation by human merit, by good work. In fact, this last week, I went out to eat with another couple in our church, and the gentleman gave a tract to the waitress and asked the waitress, it says, if you're to die today, do you know for certain you're going to heaven? The waitress says, yes. And the man says, why? You know what she said? Because I'm a good person. A common answer today. That's the broad way. That's the way it leads to destruction. If you're here today and you're looking to your works, your behavior, your conduct as a means to get to heaven, my friend, that's the way that leads to destruction. That way cannot save. That's the broad way. But what is the narrow way? What does the word narrow mean? The word narrow is not, does not mean difficult or hard. Narrow means only one way. Now, many of you probably know, maybe you live with someone who's narrow-minded. Do I live some other way? What does that mean? It's their way and no other way. You know, the way to heaven is a narrow way. It means only one way to heaven. Jesus Christ said in John 14, 6, he says, I am what? The way. He didn't say, I am another way. He didn't say, I am a way. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. Acts 4, 12. The apostle said this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way. My friend, that's narrow-minded. That's not politically correct, but that is biblically correct. And so that is not what the world believes. The world said there's many roads. Many years ago, I gave a man a tract. I said, am I going to heaven? And he said, yes, I'm going to heaven. I said, why? He said, there's many roads to heaven. I said, what do you mean? He said, like right down the road, here's the post office. You take 41 to the post office, you go the back way, maybe take Collier Parkway to 583, turn there, go that way. There's many roads to the post office. So there's many roads to heaven. I said, my friend, that's interesting. But when you die, you don't go to the post office. The way to heaven is only one way. There's only one road. One way, heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. My friend, the world does not believe that. The Bible said that harvest truly is what? As abundance, truly as plenteous. Next, the next thing Christ points out, not only the abundance, but also the deficiency. the deficiency. He says the labors are few. There's a deficient of labors. There's a lack, there's a shortage of labors. And the question is, why? Why the shortage? And I'm going to cover the reasons why, but let me ask you a question. Are you involved with missions, either personally, by sharing the gospel, or by giving others might go? Are you involved? You said no. Then whatever reason why you give is why the laborers are few. I have found that very few believers actually are involved towards missions. My friend, that's God's heartbeat. It ought to be our heartbeat. Our heart ought to beat for lost souls. And the problem is, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Why? Let me give you three reasons why. As we cover these, see if any of them hit home. Someone said, if the door knocks, what should you do? At the door. Someone knocks the door, what do? You answer it. If the bell rings, you answer it. So maybe it might apply to you. And I found these in my life over the years, and I want to be transparent with you. Maybe you might find them in your life. First one, I want to call passiveness. Passiveness, which means indifference, apathy, a lack of concern. The reason so many of us are not involved in missions, because we just don't care. Oh, we care that we're going to heaven, but we don't care about others. And so the lack of care, concern is why so many people are not involved. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10, please. Keep your finger in Matthew. Romans 10, page 1593, if you use a church Bible. I encourage you to use one of those Bibles if you don't have one with you. Turn with us. I'll be calling page numbers for those which we scriptures we turn to. Romans 10. Apathy or lack of concern is one reason why the laborers are few. In Romans 10, verse 1, Romans 10, verse 1, here is the Apostle Paul's testimony. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be what? Now, he's talking about the Jewish people. That's his brother and sisters. Now, he was a Jew. He said, it's my heart's desire and prayer that my fellow Jews might be saved. By the way, is that your heart's desire? Do you have a desire in your heart people might be saved and come to know Christ as Savior? That was Paul's. Look in chapter 9, please, verse 1. Chapter 9, look what Paul was willing to go through that other people might be saved. Chapter 9, verse 1. Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Does your heart sorrow when people die without Christ? Paul says, I have great heaviness and sorrow of the heart. But read on. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Wow. Paul said, if it meant that my fellow Jews could be saved, I would be willing to go to hell. I wish myself to be a curse from Christ. Now, he could not. We cannot lose our salvation. But he said, I wish if that meant my people could save, I'd be willing to go to hell. Listen, would you be willing to go to hell so someone else could get saved? How about you? Not me. But that's what Paul would do. And so notice what he was willing to sacrifice, that somebody might get saved. What are you willing to sacrifice? That people might get saved. My friend, the problem with the laborers are few because many of us, we don't care. We may say we do with our mouth, but really deep inside, we don't sacrifice very little, if anything, for people to come to Christ. The passiveness is why the laborers are few. The next reason why the laborers are few is because of priorities. But another verse I've got to share with you, I think it's on the screen here, goes back to this idea of caring. Psalm 126, verse 5. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Notice it talks about tears and weepeth. Have you ever wept over someone without Christ? Have you ever shed any tears, someone that died not knowing Christ as Savior? My friend, that's compassion. And reason why the labors are few, because many of us have no compassion. Next, the second reason why labors are few is priorities. priorities. In other words, they have other or higher priorities. Other, something else is more important than people getting saved. Go now to John 4. Keep your finger in Matthew again. John chapter 4, please. Page 1490. For those using a church Bible, John 4. The reason the labor is a few, because something else is so much more important to us. We have other priorities or higher priorities than people getting saved, so we are not involved, and the labors are few. John chapter 4, look in verse 31, please. Now the context here, Jesus had just had a conversation with a woman at the well, and he led that woman to the well to himself. She trusted Christ as her Messiah. And she went back to the city to tell other people that she found the Messiah. And it says there in verse 31 of chapter 4, and in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What's he saying here? Please listen. What he's saying here, there are times that the spiritual needs of others take priority over our own physical needs. That's what he's saying here. In other words, he'd been leading a person to Christ, and it's time to eat. And the disciples said, Master, eat. He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He says, My meat to eat is to do with the will of the Father that sent me. Again, what is he saying? There are times that the spiritual needs of others are more important, take priority on our own physical needs. That's what he's saying here. Now, we're so quick to meet our physical needs to the neglect of other spiritual needs. And so when it comes to giving, many do not give. I'm going to take care of myself, yo, big guy. But we forget about those around us. And the Lord says, my friend, it's not time to eat. It's time to win souls. And so that's what he's saying here. Priorities. Because Christians have other priorities other than people getting saved, the labors are few. Number three, the third reason why the labors are few is procrastination. Procrastination. A tendency to put off. Pastor, I'm planning to give to missions, but not now. I'm planning to go to my loved one without Christ, but later. I'm planning to share the gospel with my fellow employee, but tomorrow. Procrastination. Look with me in verse 35 of chapter 4. Right where we're at, same place. John 4:35. He says, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. This was the slogan among farmers. They plant a seed and said, 4 months cometh, then we'll have the harvest. But that is not true spiritually. In other words, the harvest is not in 4 months. The harvest is when? Today. Now. He said, lift up your eyes and look around you. There's abundance of people without Christ. And God's trusting you to reach them with the gospel. In John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said this, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is today. The night cometh and when no man can work. In other words, when should you do it? Now. Don't put it off. There may come a time you cannot give. May come a time you cannot go or didn't share. So you should do it now while you can. Proverbs 10:5 says this, He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame. In other words, we should be working now while the harvest is ripe and not waiting and sleeping during this time when it may bring great shame to ourselves for doing so. So we saw, number one, the abundance. The harvest truly is plenteous. We saw, number two, we saw the deficiency, but the labors are few. Here's the question. What's the answer? What's the solution to this problem? Read verse 38. This is the forgotten obligation in missions. The answer, what's the first word in verse 38? Pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. This is back to Matthew chapter 9. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers in the harvest. In other words, the Lord's solution to the problem. Notice he didn't say give, though that's so important in missions. He didn't say go, though we need to. He said what? Pray. Praying, therefore, the Lord of harvest. Let me give you things to pray for. First of all, do what the scripture said. Letter A, pray the Lord will send forth laborers. Pray the Lord will send forth laborers. Would please go to Romans now, please. Keep your finger in Matthew. Romans chapter 10. So many people are saying, Pastor, I just found John, and now you're turning over to Romans. Romans chapter 10, please. Talking about pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. This is the answer. This is the solution to the problem of the labors of few and the harvest is plenteous. God says to pray. Romans chapter 10. Look in verse 13, please. Romans 10, 13. Paul said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be what? That's what we're praying for. The Lord says, pray. The reason why, if they're not sent, no one will preach. If no one preaches, no one will hear. If no one hears, no one will believe, and no one will call upon the Lord to save them. That's the issue. So God says, Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, and the labors are few, but here's the solution. Pray. Pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. Next thing to pray for. Pray for compassion. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you, I'll be honest and say, Pastor, I lack compassion. I may care a little, but really deeply care. I like that. Why not pray for it? There in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Ever ask yourself, why did Jesus Christ leave heaven and come to this earth? Why did he leave the glory, the splendor of heaven, and the adoration of all the angels and fellowship with his Father, and come to this sin-sick world? Why? Compassion. Why did he go through this earth, being a man despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief? Compassion. Why did he go to the cross and shed his blood and die for you? Compassion. And that's what you and I lack. We need to pray for that. Pray for compassion. Psalm 86:15. David said, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Aren't you glad our God is a God of compassion? Not a little bit, but he's full of compassion. The problem is we're full of selfishness and impatience and judgment. But our God's full of compassion, long-suffering and mercy. Oh, that we might be like our Father. God, give me compassion. Give me a burden for the lost. Jude 1:22 says this, and if some have compassion, making a difference. You know, just someone knowing that you care about them, that you're concerned about them, makes all difference in the world. But some of us don't have enough compassion to walk across the street. We don't have enough compassion to give of our finances others might hear. Oh, that God would give us compassion. Pray. And next thing about prayer, pray the Lord will send forth laborers. Pray for compassion. And lastly, pray about what God would have you do. And during this month, I ask you to pray every day. Lord, what would you have me to do? Our church is focused on mission. What would you have me to do in this area of missions? Let me give you three things to consider. And of course, the first one we just said already, pray. He already told us to. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest. Send forth laborers. Pray. Now, here's what one commentary said. Please listen. Prayer in many times is many times the last resort or the least respected method of getting involved in reaching the world with the gospel. Many people say, I can't give, but all I can do is pray. As if it's a breadcrumb we can throw towards the cause of missions. But how wrong we are. Jesus told us to begin our efforts with praying. When we pray, we get involved. Prayer, the last resort, no way. Start with prayer. Here's what a missionary wrote. When God's people pray, doors are open, The devil's crippled, men are saved, and God's power is unleashed. The power of prayer is not natural, it's supernatural. When we can work in our own strength, and do, or we can work in God's strength. We're not smart enough, rich enough, or strong enough to do God's work without God's help. We need to do that which only God can do, pray for Him to make it possible through prayer. My friend, pray. We all can do that. So what would God have me do toward the mission? The first thing He told us, to pray. Next. And by the way, these are not three different choices. This is for all of us. The next one is to give. To give. Let me ask you a question. If you lived in another country that, you know, maybe a culture that does not know the name of Christ, does not know anything about God, and knowing what you know now, would you want someone to give that a missionary might go and tell you the gospel? Would you want that? Then why don't we do it? There's people out there without Christ, and missionaries want to go, but they cannot go without financial support. So we need to give. Someone said, giving our money to missions is honoring God with our time, talent, and treasure. Does that sound familiar? What do you mean, Pastor? How do you honor God with time by giving? It takes time to make money. How do you honor God with your talent? Because it takes your efforts, your talent to make the money, then your treasure. So I encourage you, pray. The last Sunday of this month is Faith Promise Sunday, where we come together as the body of Christ known as First Baptist. And every one of us give towards world missions. So pray about how much God wants you to give. And the last one is begin with prayer, give, and the last one, go. 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 Now, if you would please, go with me to Mark, please. Mark chapter 5. Page 1401, Mark chapter 5. Again, these are not individual choices. I'm either going to pray or I'm going to give. I'm going to go. No, every believer ought to be involved with all three of these. Every believer ought to pray. Every believer ought to give. Every believer ought to go. And notice here in Mark chapter 5, here's a man that was demon-possessed. The Lord healed him and saved him. And notice in verse 18, Mark 5, 18, page 1401, it said, and when he, Jesus, was come into a ship, he that hath been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Look at me, please. Here's a man that God saved. Not only healed him physically, removed the demon from him, saved him. What did the man want to do? He came back to Christ and said, listen, I want to spend time with you. I'd like to be with you, Jesus. Oh, isn't that a great desire? Jesus says, no. I want you to go home. I want you to tell your family and your friends what great things God's done for you. Where does missions begin? It begins at home. Many of you have loved ones without Christ. You have neighbors without Christ. You have relatives without Christ. Go to them first. He said, go home and to your friends and tell them what great things God did for you and how God had compassion on you. What do you mean? Share your testimony. Just share with them how you got saved. That's what God wants you to do. Go. In fact, in John chapter 1, there's a man by the name of Andrew. He was Simon Peter's brother. He was following, he was with John the Baptist. Then Jesus came on the scene, and he began to follow Jesus. And when he found the Messiah, and he did, it said Andrew first went to his brother and told him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought Peter to Jesus. He began with his own family. That's where missions begins. Yes, we need to reach the world, but we need to start in the home. My friend, that's where you begin. Jesus told the man he healed, go home. And Andrew goes to his brother. That's where we should begin. Now, please listen. Remember the verse in Matthew we looked at earlier? It said, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. and few be finding. Let me ask you, which way are you on this morning? Which road are you on? Are you on the broad way, the wide gate? If you are looking to your works, your behavior, conduct as a means, a hope to get you to heaven, my friend, that is a way that leads to destruction. And the vast majority of people are on that way. But are you on the narrow way? I love the hymn, not hymn, the song the man sang. My hope is what? Jesus. That's the narrow way. Which hope do you have this morning? If your hope is your good works, you're not going to make it. Listen to this. One of my favorite preachers, I listen to him all the time on the radio, is Adrian Rogers. And here's what he said. This is a quote right from his message. He said, in Chicago was a nightclub. Would you believe it? They named the nightclub the Gates of Hell. Can you imagine naming a nightclub that? The Gates of Hell. One man out looking for this bar asked a policeman how to get to the Gates of Hell. On the same street of the nightclub was a church. You know what the name of the church was? It was Calvary's Church. Do you know what the policeman told that man? You want to get to the Gates of Hell? You have to go right past Calvary and you'll get to the Gates of Hell. Right past Calvary and you get to the Gates of Hell. My friend, if you pass up what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross at the Mount Calvary, you'll go to the Gates of Hell. The hope for heaven is Jesus. Don't miss it. Trust Christ as Savior. That's the hope. One more verse and we'll close. Go now to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3, verse 18. John 3, 18. Many of you know this verse by heart. In this verse, Jesus Christ divides the world in two categories. John 3, 18. Page 1487, if you're using a church Bible, 1487, John 3:18. Jesus said, he that believeth on him is not what? Condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In my office, I have a file of tracts, gospel tracts. There's some good ones and some bad ones. One of them I never forgot. I placed it there because I found it one day. On the front of the track, it says, what do you have to do to go to heaven? Excuse me. It said, what do you have to do to go to hell? Find out inside. And you open it up, you know what's inside? Nothing. And how true it is. If you have not trusted Christ as Savior, what do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Because you're condemned already. You understand that? On the back of the track, what do you have to do to go to heaven? It said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. My friend, when Jesus Christ looked at this world, he does not see the world as Baptists and Methodists. He does not see the world as Catholics and Presbyterian. He sees the world as those who believe in Christ and have eternal life, and those that believe not in Christ and shall not see life. He sees Baptists. They trust Christ as Savior, they are not condemned. But you see, Baptists have not trusted Christ, they are condemned already. Which one are you? Have you ever trusted Christ to be your Savior? Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Son of God, died on a cross on a place called Mount Calvary. And there on that cross, he bore your sin and shame. And God the Father punished him for what you have done wrong. He died in your place, paid your sin debt, he was buried, and he rose again. And he offers you eternal life as a free gift. So if you never trusted Christ as Savior, I encourage you to do that today. If you have, my friend, please listen. Lost souls, there's abundance of them. The harvest truly is what? Plenteous. But there's a deficiency of workers. The laborers are few. And so Jesus begins in their missions, pray. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest that he has sent forth laborers. Can you do that? Can you at least do that? But don't stop there. Pray and determine how much you'll give that others might go. And number three, go yourself. Go your family member. Go to your neighbor. Go to those that you have contact with, that the world might be reached. This month is Mission Month, the month we set aside as a church to do what God told us to do. God says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you personally cannot do that. But we do that, we obey that scripture through missions, to give in others that they might go on our behalf. But I encourage you, pray about what part God would have you to have. Close your Bibles, please. This morning I've been speaking to Christians, those that know Christ as Savior, and challenging you from God's Word about this idea of missions. Someone said, either you are a missionary or a mission field. Think about that. Either you're giving, going, or the others might get saved, or you're sitting back doing nothing. Oh, that God would burden our hearts. Give us compassion. Help us to have the right priorities and not put it off to another day. People are dying and going to hell every day. Many times the reason is because Christians have never told them how to go to heaven. I encourage you that you would make missions heartbeat home, was the Apostle Paul. A Christian, please pray, I would have you. If you're here today and you never trusted Christ, lay aside the idea of giving or going or praying. Let me share with you what God did for you. God wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to spend eternity with Him. And He wants you to do that so much, He'd rather die for you than without you. He sent His Son to die for you. Sacrificed His Son that you might be saved. And you can go to heaven, not through anything that you do, but rather through what Christ has done for you. He paid the price, He finished the work, and He offers it to you freely. So my question to you, what is your hope for heaven? What are you looking to as a means to have eternal life? What are you looking to as a means of forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven? I hope it's what those three men saying, that your hope is Jesus. He is not an additional hope. He is not another hope. He is your only hope. Refusing to trust anything else, I trust Christ and Him alone for my salvation. That's what saves. When you trust Him as your Savior, he that believeth on me hath eternal life, Christ said. Whoever believes me, trust Him. So have you ever trusted Christ? If not, do it today. If you have, God wants you to be involved to reach others. Let's bow together. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please, we conclude our service. I'd like to extend an invitation. An invitation is, which is not mine, but God's. And God is inviting you, if you never have before, to receive His Son to be your Savior. How do you do that? By trusting Christ, the one who died for you to take you to heaven. He's inviting you to receive, trust Jesus as your only hope for heaven this morning. You say, Pastor, I never quite understood that until today. Pastor always thought it was my works, my behavior, that helped me get to heaven. But I realize today the only hope for heaven is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And right here today, I want to trust Christ to be my Savior. I want to trust Him and Him alone as my only means for heaven. Pastor, how do I do that? You can do it right now, right where you sit. You can talk to God in your own thoughts. Only God knows your thoughts. You cannot go wrong. You can place your dependence, your trust in Christ as Savior right where you're at. A simple prayer. If you never trusted Christ, like to do it today, why not, as you talk to God, say something like this. Just say, Dear God of heaven, I acknowledge, I admit that I'm a sinner. And God, because I've sinned, I've earned, I deserve your punishment. But God, I believe that Jesus, your Son, was punished in my place. I believe the judgment I deserve for my sin, Jesus took upon Himself. And there on the cross, I believe He died for me. He was buried, and He rose again. God, right here today, I am trusting Christ as my Savior. is my only hope for heaven. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, my friend, did you pray that prayer with me? Did you trust Christ as your Savior? If you did, according to the Bible, heaven's now your home. He saves you the moment you do that. But I get excited when I see someone else understand that good news. And if for the first time you've done that today, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to include you in my closing prayer. Let me say, I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you, have you forward. But if you pray today with me to receive Christ as your Savior and allow me to pray for you, I'm going to ask you in one moment just simply to raise your hand. Again, I'm not going to point you on the spot or point you out. I'd like to pray for you. I'm going to do this with heads bowed and eyes closed so no one will be put on the spot. If you trusted Christ to be your Savior here today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just indicate that by simply raise your hand and put it back down? Know it all? Pastor, here's my hand. I trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all this morning? Pastor, here's my hand. I've trusted Christ. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I assume that means no one here, that everyone here has trusted Christ. If that's the case, everybody here today ought to be involved in some way, somehow, with mission. But the tragedy is the labors are, oh, all of us might be part of that few. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you that we should begin missions with prayer. You told us to pray that the Lord of harvest, you yourself would send forth labors. So I pray that everyone here today would at least commit that part of their lives to pray. Then consider giving and also consider going. Father, we ask that you might move and stir the hearts of people during this month. We focus on missions. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.